We're going to read well-known verses now. So now Psalm 23, and then some verses from the end of Matthew 11. I'm reading from the New King James, but it's very similar to the words in the New International Version, which is the Pew Bible here. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside the still waters, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then the end of Matthew chapter 11, a well-known verses, just three verses, 28-30. I'll refer to this afterwards, but this verse I'm going to read is on your church website, on the home page. I only found that out last night. Verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." The New King James says, "You who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So we turn to Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28-30 for our text this morning. "Come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so Jesus is inviting us to come with our burdens. We're going to think about them as past sins, present troubles, and future concerns. Those three areas, by the way, were covered in that hymn, if you took note of the words. Jesus is able to give us peace of mind and peace in the heart when we come to him with our burdens. Now, he says rest in these verses rather than peace, but we can think of rest for our souls in terms of peace. Elsewhere, he uses the word peace. John 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Or John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I'm sure we would, all of us, agree that this is having an inner peace is a treasure. Above all other treasures, we may have all the riches of the world can give us, and we should be thankful for all the blessings we have. But inner peace and rest is the greatest thing that we can have, and Jesus gives that to us when we come to him, as we are told in these verses. Well, he was speaking here to the multitude, we're told at the beginning of chapter 11, with a audible voice. This morning he speaks not with an audible voice. He could do that if he wanted. From heaven, he is a living Saviour on the throne of heaven. And he speaks through his word and through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father, there's a mystery about the Trinity. They are one in the way that they work together. And Jesus speaks to us this morning through his Holy Spirit, emphasizing some truths that you need to hear from the word. We have an example of how Jesus speaks through the Holy Spirit in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. He speaks audibly to John the Apostle and dictates to him 7 letters to be sent to 7 churches. And at the end of each letter, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches," the Holy Spirit. And so it's Jesus speaking through the Holy Spirit to the churches in that example, the 7 churches. He speaks this morning to us through the words that we're considering from the Bible, but through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will emphasize some truth to you from all the things that I will say and say to you, take note of this. This is what Jesus is saying to you this morning. Hear what he is saying. So, particularly this morning, it's an invitation to come with our burdens. Who is invited? Well, is it the ones who are most religious amongst us, who are the best? Well, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. All includes you, includes me. This is the mercy of the gospel. We must come in the right way, in repentance and faith. But all are invited. It is the wonder of the gospel. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So we pray that we might come this morning with our burdens to him. Now I want to think about this under 3 headings. The burden of past sins, the burden of present troubles, and the burden of future concerns. As I said, I think the hymn we sang, Peace, Perfect Peace, deals with all of those 3 areas in different ways. And although this text we're looking at is mainly to do with the Christian life, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, we can still apply the principle of rest and peace in each of these areas from other scriptures. A Christian is someone who has felt burdened about their past sins and have confessed them and have been forgiven because Christ died for our sins to take the punishment. And strangely enough, in God's providence, on the Ballard Evangelical Church website, I don't know how many of you look on that, the home page has got this verse. We've got some new pictures today, and underneath the old pictures on the church homepage, the verse comes up. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And there's a message underneath, a sermon. I printed it off. I only found it last night, or I happened to be checking your website. And this is what it says. So here's what's on your Ballard Evangelical Church website homepage about this verse. What an invitation. Jesus Christ says, come to me, however you feel, weary, on top of the world, overwhelmed, lonely, positive, just plodding. The invitation is for us all. We all need Christ. God created us to enjoy a relationship with him, but we have not valued this relationship. We've tried to do life our own way. Because of this, our sin has separated us from God. And that should be a burden for those who are not Christians. We are separated from God, and we can't know this rest and comfort as a Christian until we are saved. But God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life and to die on the cross for our sins. Because Jesus gave his life for us, by faith in him, our sins are forgiven and we are received and welcomed into God's family for eternity. That's on your church website, okay? I'm just reading it. You can go and read it for yourself. I was encouraged when I read that. It sort of confirmed that I was perhaps doing the right text this morning. We need to confess to God and say, sorry for my sins, Lord. If there's someone here and you're not troubled about your sin, your past sin, it's because you're in spiritual darkness and you're in a very bad way. We have all sinned. I've got a calendar at home, joyful news calendar, and for June, the verse on it is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You are a sinner and you need really to be burdened by it until you are saved and converted, to put your faith in Christ as the only Saviour because of his death on the cross. And so it's through that we receive rest for our souls to do with the forgiveness of sins. We may think of that as peace in the mind and peace in the heart. Peace in the mind is to do with believing the promises of God through faith. So when he says, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, we trust the promise. If we confess our sins, he is just and faithful to forgive our sins. We trust that promise. And through trusting God's promises, we can have peace in our mind. But we can also know peace in our hearts. A guilty conscience can be cleansed of guilt and to be at peace. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Apostle Paul says, we, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace with God involves a guilty conscience being cleansed and being at peace. In Hebrews 9, verse 14, we read this, the blood of Christ cleanses your conscience from dead works. Or Hebrews 10, verse 22, having our hearts cleansed from an evil conscience. So we may have that inner peace of knowing that our sins are forgiven and that guilty conscience has been removed and we are right with God. So Jesus brings that rest and peace to our souls when we come to him in repentance and faith. Have you done that? If you haven't done that, that's your priority. You won't know the other blessings we'll be talking about in the Christian life and future glory until you've come to be a child of God, to be a true Christian through faith and repentance of your sins. But also under this same heading, if you're a Christian, you will be sinning every day. In one form or the other, thoughts, words. I confess my sins every morning to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Not to be saved. You can only be saved once. You only get saved once. You become a true believer. But sin in the life of the Christian can spoil our fellowship with God. Sometimes he has to discipline us and chasten us as he withdraws his comfort and his blessing. And a Christian needs to confess day by day that we may be close to the Lord and walk in the Spirit close to him. So I confess each day and ask forgiveness, not to be saved, but that my relationship with the Lord may be closer than what perhaps it was. So whoever we are, we come to the Lord Jesus Christ with that burden of sin, that he may grant us his rest and his peace. But then, as we're thinking about today, we can also bring the burdens of difficult circumstances to him, the present. The hymn we just sang refers to that in verses 2, 3 and 4, different types of difficult circumstances, whether they're health problems, family problems, other circumstances, opposition, persecution. We can be burdened about those things. And we are to bring those to the Lord. And we may pray, as we just sang in What a Friend We Have in Jesus, the emphasis on prayer there. We pray that we may know peace in our hearts amongst all the troubles around us. We pray that the Lord would give us strength to go through them. We pray that he might take them away, some of them. He answers prayer like that. But also we pray for grace to trust in the Lord when there are troubles, because he has his purpose in allowing troubles even in the life of a Christian. You cannot read the whole Bible without seeing the way God deals with his people, where he sends troubles sometimes in order to purify his church or his people, as good parents would discipline their children because they love them. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And if we are going a sinful way, you might find that he's using troubles to say, stop now, think, come back to me, confess those things. Or he might send the troubles just to bring us closer to him, that we see our need of him more, and we pray more, and we seek him more, when we've gone very lukewarm about the things of God. Or in the midst of troubles, the way we trust in the Lord as we go through them is a part of our witness to others, that we're still trusting. And so when we're thinking about the concerns, the burdens of today's problems, it can be quite complicated. We can certainly pray for inner peace. I'm sure you could give me examples, those of you who are believers, of times when God has given you peace in the middle of these storms that you go through. I can think, some of you will know who I'm talking about. My mother-in-law was a very nervous person by personality and character. Seems to be anxious about everything, even though she was a believer. She had a major operation in the hospital. And she says afterwards, but we'd been praying for her and she'd been praying. When they took her down to the operating theatre, she felt a strange peace come over her, which carried her. It was the peace of God when she needed it. And the Lord does give us peace when we need it. Not all the time, or we wouldn't appreciate it. Paul, of course, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be not anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep and guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. But make your requests known unto God. There's prayer involved there. But even so, he gives that peace when we need it. And he knows when we really need it. So even in the midst of troubles, we can know God's peace. I'm sure you've got plenty of examples. In the Bible, we can read, for example, of Paul and Silas. In Acts chapter 16, they were thrown into prison in Philippi because they were preaching Jesus. And they were beaten with rods severely and chained. And we're told that at midnight they prayed. It's in Acts chapter 16. And they sang praises to God. It doesn't say peace, but you can see that they knew the Lord was with them. And they sang praises, and all the other prisoners heard them singing. I'm sure you can give examples of the way the Lord has been with you, especially in this peace during the storms of life. But then when we're talking about our attitude to the troubles, it's quite complicated. We have to learn to trust in the Lord when they continue, even after we've prayed, because he has his purposes. Now, Jesus' words here in verse 29 to do with the Christian life: take my yoke upon you, learn from me. So the yoke, the farmer used the yoke, it was a long piece of wood that was attached to the ox that pulled the plough, and the farmer was able to control what was going on. But often there were two spaces at the end for two oxen to pull together. And quite often, and some commentators emphasize this regarding verse 29, the farmer would put a strong, mature ox in one slot and then a young ox in the other. And the young ox was to learn as they pulled together from the way the mature ox responded to the instructions of the farmer, whether it was go, stop, turn, and the young ox was to learn from the older ox. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He walks with us. What a friend we have in Jesus. Indeed, more than that, he comes to live within our hearts through his Holy Spirit. He is with us. We are side by side in that sense, under his yoke. And he will guide us in our life. As he turns, we are to turn. He has his ways and purposes. And he will strengthen and help us. Again, some commentators say the mature ox took most of the weight of the yoke. So it was light and easy for the learner as they pulled together. There's a picture there then. And in the Christian life, Jesus guides us. He is our shepherd who leads the sheep. He will help us. He will strengthen us. It's a life of service. The picture again is serving these oxen, serving the farmer. So we serve the Lord. We do it with Jesus with us and helping us. And that gives us a measure of rest and peace to know that truth. He has said the very last words in Matthew, Gospel, the very last words are, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. What a tremendous promise that was to his disciples. And he is with us under the yoke to guide and help us. And we must learn, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We learn by studying the scriptures as to what God wants us to do. We learn by looking at the example of Jesus in the scriptures, how he responded to the troubles that came upon him. And we learn also as we look back on our own experiences and say, well, God brought me through that. And so I'm encouraged, if he's brought me through that, he can bring me through this again, what I'm going through. But there is a learning process. It's really learning to trust in God. But in the midst, to come back to the words here, of our present troubles, he's able to give us an inner peace in response to our prayers when we need it. He's able to guide us and to strengthen us. And we must trust that he will be faithful to his promises. And that gives us peace of mind. Even when we don't understand why things are happening, the peace of mind is he's in control and he will help us. We must learn to trust when we don't understand. And we then come to the third area, as I come to a close, future. The hymn we just sang said, peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Okay, we trust in the Lord for what will come. But we can be burdened. We can bring to him our burdens to do with the future, old age, death, eternity. We can be concerned about those things as Christians now. And again, we have peace of mind by trusting the promises that are in the Bible. We've already mentioned, I will be with you always, even through death. We trust in the promise that's in Romans 8 verse 1. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We do not need to fear the judgment day. There is no condemnation to believers, although we're far from imperfect. All our sins have been cleansed in the blood of Christ. There is no condemnation. And the promise of God of eternal life is there. These promises, we trust in them, and they bring us peace of mind as we consider the future. And then, forgive me if I'm trying to oversimplifying it. Death is a great enemy, and I certainly don't want to trivialize our thinking about it. But we know, just from reading biographies of believers, martyrs who have been killed because of their faith, and that's going on. We know that's happening all over the world today, this morning. Testify to the way the Lord has strengthened them in these last seconds, moments. I mean, they've spoken out, and we can read about their testimonies, the way the Lord has been with them, even to give them a measure of rest in those moments. A lady in our church who died end of last year, she suffered from bowel cancer for 2 years. It was quite a difficult time for her. She was a Christian. And to make it harder, her husband and children were not believers. But when we went to visit her towards the end, a number of times I went, she'd say, in front of the family, I'm at peace. I'm at peace. That was her testimony. In the face of things getting worse now, physically getting worse, I'm at peace, she would say. And we would come back and think, what a wonderful testimony that she could say that to her family. As I said, there have been many martyrs in church history. The first martyr, I will just read what he said. The very first martyr, we read about him in Acts chapter 7. And I will read what he said when he died to show that the Lord was with him. So it was Stephen. Stephen had been preaching to the Jewish council. Jesus, he was accusing them of having crucified him, and they didn't obviously like what he was saying, and they sentenced him to be stoned to death. Stoned to death. And we read in Acts 7 and verse 55, as they took him, he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And they stoned Stephen, verse 59, as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." When he had said this, he fell asleep. What a tremendous testimony that is, of the way the Lord was with him in these last moments. Now, we may not have visions like he had. He had a vision of heaven and glory. There are Christians who have had that experience. But we're told that he was full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of Christ can help us in these last moments, even if we don't have a vision of heaven, can grant us peace and rest and strength and the help that we need. So there's the first martyr. And he's an encouragement and an example to us. We need to trust the promises of God relating to what's to come, death and judgment and heaven and hell, and the heaven for the believer. Let me ask you as I close then, have you been through the first part? Have you been saved? Have you confessed your sins and trusted in Christ? That is the priority. You won't know the other blessings until you are made right with God. That's the priority for any here now who, as far as you understand, you're not true believers. Call upon him. "Lord, forgive my sins. Help me to trust in Christ. Help me by your Spirit." And then for those who have done that, it's through prayer that we receive the rest and the peace that Jesus offers in all the different circumstances. And I'm always challenged by that hymn I did quoted, I think, in my prayer. "I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford." So we need to walk in prayer, committing our needs to him, the difficult circumstances of today, asking, "O Lord, grant me peace in the middle of all this, and help me to trust in you." So we pray that we would hear a particular message from all that, what God, the Holy Spirit, is bringing to your heart this morning. May God help us to come to Jesus and to find that rest for our souls, which is found only in him. And may it be to his praise and to his glory. Amen.